Can we lift our hands tonight? Can we just praise and magnify him tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Come on, his presence. His presence is in this place. I need your glory. I want your glory. streets of heaven, let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain, let it rain.
Yeah.
presence is in this house. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, His Spirit is in this place. Come on, anything can happen in this house. Anything can happen in this place tonight.
Here I cry.
Come on, begin to lift your hands right now.
Let's reach out to him right now. Come on, let's do it. In the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we still need miracles. We still need a move of the Holy Ghost. Come on, we've not yet arrived where we don't need the move of the Lord in the house tonight. Oh, let's reach out to him right now, all over this place. Oh, mighty King, mighty Savior, mighty God, by your Spirit, Savior. Oh, work miracles tonight, Jesus. Come on, you're the only one that can do it. Come on, it's not in counseling. It's not in the bottle. It's not by the psychiatrist. But a miracle. You're the peacekeeper. You're the Prince of Peace. Come on, in the name of Jesus. You're the comforter. Oh, we love you, Jesus. The peace that passes all understanding. My God, by your Spirit, Jesus. We love you, Savior. We glorify your name. We glorify your name. We glorify your name. Oh, we love you. Oh, let's just entertain his presence right now. He's in the house. We glorify you, Jesus. Praise your Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Ushers are preparing to receive the Wednesday night tithe and offering. Amen. Let's not forget our daily devotion, reaching out to the Lord in prayer, reading our Bibles. Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Amen. Let's be about the Father's business. Let's be apostolic. Let's do outreach. Let's invite folks to the house of God. Let's be ready with an answer of the joy that's within us. Amen. Youth camp is, the money is due tonight. If you have any questions about that, please see Sister Bray for that. Also, in this service, we'll be having a business meeting. So this is the third announcement, and we'll be having that tonight. Amen. Let's be faithful in our giving. Let's be faithful in our attendance. Let's be faithful. Someone said today that this thing about being a Christian, it's a daily thing. Every day, 24/7, we are apostolic Pentecostals in everything we do. Amen. So let's be faithful in that. Let's stand together and pray for the offerings, the rest of the service. Savior, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We ask you, Lord, to bless the gift and the giver tonight. Do it all in Jesus' name. Let's sing and worship as the ushers come.
I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, around. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, around. I lift my hands.
Come on, anybody need the Lord in this house tonight? Come on, let's praise Him. Let's glorify Him. Come on. Did you come to get a touch of the Lord? Did you come to be blessed? Oh, I need you, Lord. 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 Come on, I lift my hands. I bow my knees. Come on, I worship you, Jesus. Oh, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. I need you, Savior. I need you, Jesus. God, I love you today. I need the Lord. Amen. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. He also said, without me, ye can do nothing. Now, Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Let's lift our hands and love the Lord together right now. Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we glorify you. Jesus, we honor you. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Savior. We glorify you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as you're turning there, we're going to open this up for a business meeting. I said, Pastor, you're getting ready to preach. I understand. I know what I'm doing. It's going to be the longest business meeting we've ever had outside of our normal. Anybody want to make a motion that we start this business meeting tonight? But Papa T, Brother Caleb seconds, all in favor, say aye. Amen. We may not know how to do that, but it felt good anyhow. Get you back in the groove. You, by your own admission, you want to have church tonight. So let your words bear record against you if you don't. Amen. And the reason why we officially started this, because I'm officially telling you why we're doing what we're doing. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Everybody say God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, hay, wood, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So tonight, in this business meeting, we're going to talk about the foundation of the church. The foundation of the church. Can we lift our hands all over this house tonight? Come on, can we ask the Lord? We glorify your name, Jesus. We glorify your name, Savior. God, we want to lay the right foundation. God, we want to do it the right way. God, we love you tonight. We praise you tonight. We honor you, Jesus. Amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Foundation means something put down. That is a substructure. It comes from the root word, which means to appoint or precept. It's precept upon precept. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. There's got to be something laid down. It means to commit. It means to kneel down, to purpose. It means to settle or to sink in. Ezra chapter 6 and verse number 3 says that God I decreed concerning the house of God at Jerusalem, let the house of be builded, the place where they offered sacrifice, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid. Can I tell you tonight, it is a sure foundation. Isaiah 28:16 says, it's a precious cornerstone. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. The Bible says concerning all these things in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the foundations of the Lord stand as sure. Nevertheless, some are overthrown in the faith, but nevertheless, the foundation of God stand as sure. Having this seal, having this signet, having this stamp, that the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. It's an everlasting foundation according to Proverbs 10:25. Hebrews 6 says there can't lay again the foundation. The Bible said leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Of the doctrines of baptism and the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. This will we do if God permit. Can I say it tonight? If God doesn't build the house, we're laboring vain. If God's not with us when we move, we're not going. Can I tell you tonight? We do this if God will permit. Amen. It's a foundation of holiness. His foundation is in the holy mountain. The Bible said, guard the foundation. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? 1 Timothy 6:19 said, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. It's like the Bible tells us that if you build your house upon the sand, it's going to fall. But if you build your house upon a rock, but not just upon it, but dig deep and put a foundation in, the winds are going to come, the rains are going to come, the floods are going to come, but the house will stand sure, because Jesus, the Bible tells us, is our foundation. He's the precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20 said, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief corner. Now, if you look in your Bibles tonight, you'll see an italics letter stone, word stone beside that. Why is that there? Because that's what it's talking about. But they added that for clarification. But can I just step back into Zechariah chapter 10? Out of him came forth the corner. The corner. What is the corner? The Bible tells us whereupon the foundations thereof are fastened, and who laid the cornerstone thereof. He's asking Job, where were you when I hung all this on the corner? Where is that corner? Can I tell you where that corner is? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, God created. That cornerstone is Christ Jesus. That corner is God Almighty. Can I tell you, He stretched it forth. He laid it out. He is the headstone of the corner. He is a foundation of stone, a sure foundation. The same has become the head of the corner. Amen. Amen. He said this, for a foundation can no other man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. The Bible tells us this, that Jesus is our foundation. Become the head of the corner in Matthew 21, 42. Jesus said in Mark 12, 10, become the head of the corner. He said in Luke 20 and 11, he was rejected. The builders rejected. The same has become the head of the corner. Acts 4, 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I thank God for the cornerstone. I thank God that there is a God, a foundation that we can build our house on. We can build our families on. We can build our church on. I get ahead of myself right now. In fact, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. To some, it's a stumbling stone. To some, it's a rock of offense. They stumble at the word, being disobedient. Isaiah 8 and 14, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel. Romans 9, 33, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. This doesn't make me stumble tonight. This does not shake me at my core tonight. In fact, it makes me rooted and grounded. He gave me like hinds feet. I'm on a rock to stay. He brought me out of the miry clay and placed my feet on a rock to stay. He put a song in my soul, a song of praise. Amen. So tonight, we're talking about a cornerstone of beginnings. What is the corner? The Bible tells us that the cornerstone is the first stone laid in the building of every wall. Angle measurement is aligned to it, and if the cornerstone is wrong, the whole structure will eventually be crooked. But if the cornerstone is sure, the building can stand through pressure, through storms, and through time. The word corner carries the thought of a starting point. When you're going to build a building, you got to find the corners. You got to find one and establish the angle, and then you measure all of its right and its square off the corners. He said that he was the cornerstone of beginning. In fact, he said this in Acts 15, 18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 10. Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hand. For Genesis 1 and 1, I've already quoted this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Psalm 102 and 25, of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth. Isaiah 45 and 12, I have made the earth, I created man upon it. I, even my hand, has stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. Verse 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it and created it not in vain, and formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 9, from the beginning of the world, thou hast been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, wherein they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning. The beginning. The beginning, it means this, a commencement. It means the rule. It means power. It means principalities. It means the first. It means at first. It means the corner. If we're going to start anything in this city, we got to make sure we find Jesus and we start there. He said, I committed to myself to know nothing but Jesus and Him crucified. Oh, hallelujah. And it pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell. And ye have peace through the blood of Christ, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Can I tell you tonight, God's in control of everything in heaven and everything on earth. Amen. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality. All beginnings, all power, all starts. Amen. For every house is builded by some man, but He that built all things is God. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Whom say that I, the Son of Man, am? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can I tell you something tonight, church? There's God is building a church in the city of Nampa. And the gates of hell, the bank, the city, the politicians, there's nobody that can stop what God is doing. Can I tell you, I can't stop it. You can't stop it. If God said, I'll build my church, He's going to build His church. If God said He's going to do it, then God's going to do it, because I'm looking for a builder whose maker is God. I'm looking for a foundation, a city that had the foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. And so tonight we are here tonight to talk about a name change. Not a church change, not a mission change, but a name change, a foundation. I'll even go this far, a new beginning. Up to this point, up to this moment, It has been the foundation that someone else has built on. We have just been building on someone else's start. We have been trying to do our best with what was there, and thank God for it. Thank God for it. If nothing else, Sister Megan, Brother Caleb, those long nights trying to balance the books, was it 10 cents that was left in the checking account? It was around 10 cents left in the checking account when we took the church. Just after fireworks, all that money was gone. All the other money was gone. Everything was in debt. I couldn't even get a debit card for the church because it was overdrawn. The credit card was maxed out. And we had 10 cents to our name. And somehow, Sister Bray and I had to pay a severance package. So I went to work, and I thought, this is ridiculous. There's a whole lot they didn't tell me when I hired on with this outfit. But guess what? We made it through, church. And I want to remind us tonight, lest we forget, we sold that building for $1 million. We got 10 cents and some debt. And God blessed us, and we built a foundation on Jesus Christ, and we sold the building for $1 million. Hey, to God be the glory. If God said, I'll build my church, He's going to build His church. Whatever you're facing tonight, can I tell you, if you just build it on Jesus Christ, if you quit building the easy way, if you quit doing it on the sand where it's just convenient, and dig deep in rock, and dig deep in Jesus, and dig deep in a prayer life, and dig deep in the Word of God, you'll look back 10 years later. We went from 10 cents to $1 million, and now we're building a church. Come on, somebody. We got reason to shout tonight. It's all right to have a new start. It's all right to have a fresh start. Amen. Amen. So we did it. We did it as a church. And some of us are still here. When I took the church all those years ago, there were 71 on the roll. And I began to look at the roll, and I began to think, man, half these people haven't been here in 8 or 9 months. But there's 71 on the roll. And literally, the board of elders said, it must be a pretty good going church. The guy goes on vacation all the time. He's got a brand new house and a brand new car. I thought, man, this is a pretty good deal. I was framing houses for $12 an hour at 41 years old to try to pay off his bills. But I thank God that he bought a building. However he got it, by hook or crook, I'm thankful we have it. I'm thankful we had the parking lot. Thank God that we got the parking lot just a few months before we took the church. Thank God for that. In fact, I was there at a service in May of that year when he got the parking lot and was telling everybody about it. I didn't even know who the guy was. Little did I know I was going to be living in that parking lot. But why are we doing this? Why are we making this change? Because we are building this church. It's not my church. If the Lord were to take me tonight in my own personal rapture, if you're going to do it tonight, let it be after In-N-Out. But if not, I guess I'll be eating there. I got to wait for y'all to show up for the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's a long fast. But if it happens, the church carries on. Just put a little picture of you in the corner and say, this is Pastor Bray's memorial. Put a hammer or a tool bag or something over there. It's not just my church. It's our church. But more importantly, it's God's church. And we want to be a revival church. We want to be a praising church. We want to be a worshiping church. We want to be a growing church. We want to be a praying church. We want to be a soul-saving church. We want to be souls first, God first, the work first. We want a church that's laid right, the foundation's in alignment. Amen. The cornerstone of new seasons. God's calling us out of where we've always bumped up against growth. I really do feel, even though it would have been easier, even though it would have been cheaper, even though we could have had good church, because we were having good church, we could have stayed where we were, and it would have been a lot easier. But we always were bumping up against our future. They say when a building is 70% full, you better start doing something. There for a long time, we were running in the 70s and 80s on Sunday mornings. We had 120 seats. We kept saying to ourselves, we can't do anything. We can't build. We can't sell. We can't move. We can't do anything. Well, God forced the issue. God forced the issue. It wasn't God's will for his people to be in Egypt. But they grew comfortable. So God raised a man to force the issue. God raised a Moses to force the issue. Perhaps God just put somebody in place that wasn't trying to make money, wasn't trying to get comfortable, wasn't trying to do what was just get them by, but thought, you know what, if we're going to do something, we might as well, hey, go big or go home. And so we pushed the issue, and guess what? There's no going back. Can I just tell you tonight that that building is now for sale? Our old building is now for sale for $3.5 million. They put about $2 million into it, bought it for $1 million. I don't know how much they're actually going to make off the whole thing. Knowing Jim, he's going to make money. But he's got it for sale. That's fine. That's what businessmen do. They buy buildings and they sell them. You know, to us, it was just four walls. We are God's building. That's why we should be able to have church in here, outside in the parking lot, under a tent, because God don't ever change and neither does the church. Come on, somebody. I know we've been in here long enough that this ought to just be like second nature. I know it's weird. I know the altar area is weird. I know all that's weird. But can I tell you something? We are God's building. We are God's church. We can have church under a rock, on top of a rock, or behind a rock. Can I tell you, we can have church in here because we have had church in here. Sunday night, did we ever have church in the house of God? But can I tell you, when we leave and go someplace else, God's going with us. Amen. Amen. Often, God blesses what we have already started, but God desires to be the one who starts it. We need to be in alignment. Cornerstone determines alignment. The cornerstone was used to align the entire building, which means that Jesus does not merely inspire our lives, he defines our lives. Amen. Our priority aligned with him. Our doctrine aligns with him. Our values align with him. Our holiness aligns with him. Our relationships align with him. How do we grow, Pastor? Get in alignment. How do we get revival? Get in alignment. How do we get new souls? Get in alignment. Make sure you're hooked up to the chief cornerstone and you know his mission. He said, the will, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. My purpose is to do the will of him that sent me. I'm going to tell you why we're building that new building, to do the will of him that sent us, because we're all ordained. We're all called to be outreachers. We're all called to, in fact, the Bible says in the book of Acts, you shall have power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. That's alignment, church. That's alignment, church. Amen. Amen. So here we are. We're going from a building of about almost 9,000 square feet to this one that's 4,200 square feet. And the new one's 4,800 square feet. That's smaller. If you don't know math, if you're not, you may be quick at math, just not good at it. Some of you will get that later. That's smaller. Both of these buildings are about the same size as what we left. I said, Pastor, how are we going to survive in a building that's half the size of what we left? It's phase one. Though the beginning was small. My wife and I were talking about it this morning. We were reading our Bibles and we were listening to devotions. We were doing all that and we were talking about growth, and we were talking about the fact that building a building, even though it's a big deal. Anybody realize this is a big deal? If you don't realize it, wait till the bill comes and you'll find out what a big deal it is. It's a big deal. And I don't know, I've remodeled buildings, I've done all that before, but and we've remodeled in Fresno and all that, but I never had to build it from scratch. In fact, my wife made mention a couple services ago after I was talking about the privilege of building and all the sacrifice of it, that, you know, we stepped into True Tabernacle Fresno, a 1,100-seat auditorium, a year after it was built. We lived through two remodels of that same building in the 27 years that we were there, but we didn't have to build it. We remodeled multiple buildings in that city for our branch works. But God saw fit to allow us to repay the debt of the people who went before us and built that building and given that church to start to look for a bigger location. So what am I thinking? I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking. I was talking to Brother Joel Moats yesterday when I pulled up to the church to work. I said, hey, how big's your church? He just got done building a building, and he sent me the plans of it. His building is 70 feet wide by 150 feet long, and it's two stories, the same size. I think that's around 15,000 square feet if my math is serving me right. It's pretty close to that. It's big. It's a lot bigger. I may be fast at math, but I may not be good at it. But I think it may be bigger, maybe 16 or 18,000. All I know is a lot bigger than ours. And I said, how many do you seat? He said, just under 300. I said, what in the world? We got room for 200. How'd you only get three? He goes, well, because if I go over three, I need sprinklers. I said, oh, the bane of our existence. I said, well, please tell me you have plans to go bigger once you can afford sprinklers. Now, let me tell you the other part of that. They bought 7 acres in Arkansas for $85,000 and built that big building for $350,000. We paid $750,000 for the land for 2.5 acres. We do things bigger in the Northwest, at least more expensive. But I'm going to tell you something. I looked at that plan, and I thought, you know what? There's another building right beside us. The inspector came out today to look at the building for the bank, the inspector for the bank, to make sure that we're doing what we said we're doing. He came out and looked. He said, what about all the rest of the property? Is that yours? I said, yes. He said, what are you doing with it? I said, we're building two more buildings. He said, oh, when do you start? I said, as soon as possible. I'm not lying. I said, I'm not lying. I didn't say tomorrow. I said, as soon as possible. And I pray to God it's sooner than I think. I pray to God, because we were talking about this morning, I want to get in there. I want to do Bible studies. I want to do outreach. I want to get our van going again. I want to do all the things. Hey, if we've been working every night and every weekend, we can spend a couple nights doing outreach, a couple Saturday mornings doing outreach, a couple nights doing Bible studies. And if we get in alignment, and we line up with what God's plan is, we'll fill that building up, no problem. You're not shouting now, but I'm going to tell you something. If your alignment, if your goal is not to fill that building up, but to get comfortable in it, you got the wrong plan. My plan is to build that building and turn that one into a school for our children so they don't have to go to public school. That's my goal. That's my desire. That's my plan. And I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. I'm laying a foundation. I'm getting alignment with the cornerstone. I'm getting alignment with what God's plan is. Amen. Amen. Don't despise the day. Oh, Pastor, it's only 4,800 square feet. Don't despise this day. Because I had the privilege of going to a Christian school. And every morning we got to walk into the chapel. That was the former auditorium that Brother Morton kicked open the door and said, one day there'll be a building on that property right there. Just get ready. That door on the west side, we may have to replace it. because I plan on kicking it open a couple times and saying one day. And I've walked out that door right into the building that Elder Morton built. And I've had church in the chapel. I've had church in the prayer room. I've had lunch in the old building, what was the first building on the property where the baptismal tank was a snack bar. I had the privilege of growing up in buildings that the church outgrew. I've got a heritage. I've got a DNA that, you know what? This may be the first building on the property, but it wasn't the last. And we built this one, and we built that one, and we built this one until we outgrew the whole. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Until we outgrew the whole thing, and now it's all for sale. I'm going to tell you, God can do it in Fresno. He can do it here. If God can do it in Spokane, Washington, he can do it here. If God can do it in La Grande, Oregon, he can do it here. Why? Because we've got a cornerstone. Because we've got a chief cornerstone. We're built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Amen. Amen. I didn't know when I first went there in 81. I didn't know that what we called the social hall was the first church. I didn't know that. Then I found out later that it was. Then we found out, obviously knew that the chapel, the prayer room, that, by the way, that seats 400. That's what they outgrew. And here's the other crazy part. The building they're in now seats 1,100, and there's not a sprinkler in it. I don't know how, but God just worked it out. And I do know this, that building that they're in, 100 by 100, they built it for $350,000. In 1980, I think the math on that was 1.4, 1.5 million, something like that. So here we are. Guess what? When we get all said and done with this building, and this parking lot, and this property, we're going to be in it, what we've already paid and what we're going to pay, about $1.4 million. Is it crazy that a church our size is going to own 2.5 acres worth over $1.5 million with the potential of two more buildings? And all we have to do is get in alignment with the cornerstone and watch God do it. That wall that we've been bumping up against, that storefront mentality that we've been bumping up against, that small church in a small corner in downtown Nampa that we've been bumping up against, we are right now on the corner of two of the major thoroughfares in the city of Nampa with 140,000 people around us, and it's growing. And we are a one God apostolic church on the corner. We got a cornerstone. We got a plan. We got a purpose. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's stand to our feet tonight. Come on, he can be the corner. He can be the cornerstone. Oh, hallelujah. Before the walls, before the ministry, before the promise unfolds, we laid a foundation. We laid a foundation that God was the chief cornerstone, that this church was built upon the rock. Amen. Just remain steady. We're almost done. Here's the good news. No matter how messed up the past was, no matter how many have come and gone, no matter how many people have been a part of this church and are not a part of this church right now. I said right now. Yeah. I believe there's gonna be a pilgrimage of folks coming home. Yeah. I really do. Yeah. I don't know what all entails, what just happened last Sunday, but some things were healed last Sunday. Some revival broke out. And I believe God's got a plan with all that. I do. And I'm not just saying this off the cuff. This has been told me by, if I gave you all the names of the people that have told me this, it would blow your mind. These are our preachers. Bishop Mayo, Bishop Frost, Elder Morton, Brother Kelly Patrick, Brother Daniel, McDonald, brother Wade Townley, Wayne Townley, James Townley, his brother, all of them. I could just go on. It just sounds like I'm name dropping, but I'm not. These people have called me, text me, say, when you get in that new building. Just out of the blue sometimes, just a text, when you get in that new building. I thought, God, what a perfect new beginning. What a perfect new beginning. Here's the good news. No matter how broken the past was, no matter how messed up the past was, Jesus still becomes the cornerstone of new beginnings. I preached this not long ago. He's the God of beginnings. But he's also the God that can give you a new start and carry you all the way through. Well, you don't have to start over. You don't want to tell you. I'm going to tell you tonight. We're going to have a new start, and God's going to carry us through, and we're going to have a place where everybody's got a place to start. He's the cornerstone of salvation. He's the cornerstone of restoration. He's the cornerstone of purpose. And he's the cornerstone of new beginnings. There's going to be folks in the backslid. They're going to come to church and pray through in those altars where we wrote names down. And they're going to get a fresh start in that building. They're going to have a new beginning. They're going to have a cornerstone moment. They're going to have an alignment moment. Oh, let's lift our hands and give God glory in the house. Oh, come on, let's praise him because he's worthy of it. Except the Lord build the house. Well, I'm going to tell you, we want him to build it, and we want him to be the start of it and the finisher of it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I'll let you be seated. We gotta do this proper now. Brother Mason, could you put up that Bible Pentecostal Church logo? So this has been our logo. How many remember the old logo? Anybody remember the old one with the burgundy P? I wonder why we got rid of it. Used to have a burgundy P with a flame in the middle of it. And I'm not a fan. If you're wearing burgundy tonight, I like the color on people, especially when it's on Ashley. She's wearing burgundy. She's one of my little favorites, so I didn't want to, you know. I have some burgundy stuff, but I don't like everything to be burgundy, and everything was burgundy. And anyway, we need to make an update. We need to make some changes. So several years ago, in fact, I think it was at Applebee's, we got a hold of a graphic designer while we were there. And at church one night, we came up with this logo. The font, everything's still the same. All we did was change the flame so that, it's marketing 101. You change one thing that people can recognize, and then you make a slight change the next time, and they won't even know they're not looking at the same sign. So this is what we started with at the change. Now go to the second one. This is the new one. Simple. Easy. They're going to drive by and think they're looking at the same sign. So that's what we're going to do. It's going to be a simple deal, and it's not going to be anything fancy for a while. And then when we get time and established and people know where we are and all that happens, then we can change the logo, change the font, and do all that. But then eventually, y'all know, can we put up the rendering of the building by itself? Oh, you just spilled the beans. Do we have that one? Hopefully without that one. Oh, that one. There's that one. We have the one that one too. We have lots of them. Do we have the one without the steeple? Where's the steeple? Where's all the people? Well, it doesn't matter. Anyway, go back to the, since you spilled the, since we don't, go back to the beans. So this is obviously the current building. It's just dusty and tan right now. But then eventually, we'll build the Fellowship Hall kitchen, some admin, some Sunday school classrooms. It'd be a really nice building. Obviously not to scale, because the next one will be 70 feet wide by 120 feet long. And then when we get done with that, then we'll build the big one, which will be 80 feet wide by 100 feet long. And when it's all said and done, you can do the math on the size of that. But we're doing it that way so that we could put that big sign right in the middle, and we'll be right on the corner. What's that downtown? Right on the corner, right on the deals? Fairly reliable, Bob's. We'll just put that out. That'll be our slogan. We're right on the corner, right on the deals. If you're looking for salvation, we got it. Praise God. And it's free. You just got to change your life. So that's the plan. That's the growth. This is the message behind it, why we're doing it. There's other reasons why we're doing it. We're doing it because of the foundation. We're doing it because of the change. We're doing it because of new beginnings. But also we're doing it because we have become in alignment really close with Cornerstone Pentecostal Church of Spokane, Liberty Lake. And I expressly asked Brother Mayo's permission to use this name. And I said, I showed him the card. I said, hey, I don't want you to say yes because you don't want to say no. You wouldn't say no. You don't want to be mean, whatever. I want your blessing. And if you don't feel good about it, tell me no. We'll do something different. He said, well, why not? Why wouldn't you? That was how he does it. So this has been something in the plan for a long time. In fact, if this doesn't get voted in tonight, we have to change all of our sweatshirts. Because all the guys got sweatshirts for Christmas with Cornerstone Construction Team on it. So anyway, does everybody like this plan?
Yes.
Everybody in favor of this plan?
Yes.
All right. We're going to take a vote tonight. All in favor of officially changing. Now, this won't take place until the IRS and everybody else approves it. It won't be tomorrow. We gotta do this. This is part of the process of changing the name. Because we got to go to our tax people, we got to go to the state, we got to do all that, and then we got to go to the IRS, and if they all agree and say, okay, great, then we got to tell the bank, oh, by the way, that loan under Bible Pentecostal Church, that's not our church anymore. We don't. They left. You shouldn't mess with us. No, I'm just playing. Anyway, so all in favor of officially changing the church name to Cornerstone Pentecostal Church of Nampa, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. 100%. All right, let's stand and give the Lord praise tonight. Come on, let's worship him. Come on, are you in favor of the plan? Are you in favor of the growth? Are you in favor of the revival? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. We love you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Just remain standing. Do we have Sister, poor Sister Lily? Do we have an aerial picture of the property on there? I don't know if we do or not. Anyway, oh, we do. We do. Okay, so obviously the current building, and by the way, I know the building's crooked on the property. But that's not our fault. Just relax. We're in alignment with the building. If we build all that we showed you, it will only go to the end of this apartment. From the end of that grass, that sidewalk is 250 feet to the other building. So we still have all of this for parking and all of that. And there will be a complete driveway around the building so you can drive behind and have RV parking and all that. And I'm throwing this out. That is 2.55 acres. Okay? True Tabernacle Fresno, within not the houses that they own around the church, but just within the walls of the original property is 2.97 acres. They have a gym. They have a K-12 school. They have the social hall, the church. It's all close together with a big courtyard in the middle, huge parking lot, and all of that is on less than half an acre more than what we have. What I'm saying is we have plenty of room for growth. And if we outgrow all of this, we're just going to buy a bigger church that's already done. Because this is going to be a lot of work. And hopefully, I see it, but hopefully I'm in that retirement bishop role, I'll pull up the parking lot and give the guys a hard time. I remember it when. Anyway, so everybody excited about what God's doing for Cornerstone Pentecostal Church? I feel good about it tonight. Let's just give the Lord praise. You can clap, you can raise your hands, you can shout, you can run the aisles. Whatever you feel like doing, the Holy Ghost right now, give him glory. Oh, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. To God be the glory. Amen. Anybody want to make a motion that this meeting be adjourned? Brother O'Connor. Anybody want to second that? Brother Connor. Brother O'Connor and Brother Connor Bray. Second that. All in favor say aye. All opposed. You can stay here. Same sign. Amen. Just take some time. It is 8:43 on a Wednesday night. Sun's still out. Probably good weather now, finally. Spend some time in fellowship. Shake somebody's hand. If you want to see those pictures, Lily will be glad to put them all across the screen. Praise God. All right. And that wasn't her fault. That was the order I gave him in. That was the order I gave him in, and I didn't plan on doing the other building. So anyway. All right. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.